I'm sure all of us, and particularly our children, are familiar with earache. A particularly nasty form of earache is when otitis media develops, that's infection of the middle ear. And it's surprising how guidelines about how to manage this problem are very diverse across different countries.
Sultan, you are trying to impose a visual totalitarianism upon the human brain.
I can tell you definitely there were no eyes like that 700 years ago. I can tell you definitely there were no eyes like that.
I think most people think about memory kind of like a file cabinet in your brain.
I'm looking for a fairly large capacity.
This is traditional style.
Something happens in your life.
This is real wood.
Yeah, this is real wooden files.
You file it away.
Oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Then later, when you want to remember something, you flip back to the files. And you, there's the one.
This one?
Yeah. You pick it up.
Oh, yes.
I recall. And there it is. That's the memory.
Can you lock it?
Yes. Do you have the key?
Sure. Sometimes you forget where you filed it.
Let me see.
But it's there.
I can't.
Somewhere. However, when we asked scientists about this analogy, they pretty much all said...
No.
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 The filing cabinet analogy is just completely wrong.
Period. Well, maybe that's because your metaphor is a little outdated. Well, maybe that's because your metaphor is a little outdated. But frankly, I think of memory as more like a...
Infection.
to ask ourselves, what happened to those artists? What happened to those innovations after the after Nero was discredited? And I mentioned also last time that when Nero committed suicide, when he was discredited, he received an official Damnatio Memoriae from the Damnatio Memoriae of his memory, which meant that Damnatio Memoriae could not only could be and were encouraged to be destroyed.
Is more like a hard drive.
Here we are.
I have your attention, please, class. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Images I've ever seen in my life, could it go onto this hard drive?
Somehow
all that experience is stored in your head in some kind of neural code.
Digital information is stored in zeros and ones.
Then later, when you want to go back to it, you just find the right file, call it right up, and there it is.
On your computer screen.
Your memory. Just as you left it.
The way you put it in, the way you take it out, it's all the same.
Never changes.
Zeros and ones.
But again, if you ask scientists about this analogy, they'll tell you.
No.
Wrong.
Memory isn't like that. Memory is not an inert stack of, you know, zeros and ones.
Malfunction. System is shutting down.
Memory doesn't work like a video recorder. Memory is actually a constructive process. And so, for example, if I ask you and the listeners to think back to a recent holiday, think of some specific incident that took place on that holiday and try to replay in your mind, kind of form a very vivid mental image of what happened there. So just take a second or two to do that.
Destroyed.
Question is, can you actually see yourself in the image, in the memory image? Now, lots of people report that they can. Not everybody does, but lots of people report, yes, they can. Now, that shows that it can't actually be what you experienced at the time. What you're actually doing when you're summoning up that kind of memory is you're constructing the memory. So that means that there's kind of possible room for kind of bias and error. I mean, just to give you another quick example. This is something that's kind of very simple stimulus that you will have seen thousands and thousands of times. On clocks and watches with Roman numerals on them, how is the 4 represented? Is it IV or is it I?
It's 4 eyes.
We've obviously, I think somebody's asked that before.
You're asking nerds. Nerds
know these things. So, I mean, whenever I kind of use this in talks and so on, you can guarantee that the majority of the audience will get it wrong. And I think most of the listeners at home would have probably answered IV. But in fact, as you say, it's I. Now, what's actually happening there is when we've actually done experiments where we've actually shown people clocks, and we then kind of put them to one side and say, now draw that from memory. And of course, what people draw is what they think they must have seen, not what they actually have seen. So they will actually write it as IV. And that's kind of another example showing that memory is a constructive process. We're actually putting pieces together on the basis of actual memory traces that correspond to what we did witness, but it's also influenced by what we think we must have seen. We fill the gaps in. And that's a couple of examples of the way in which kind of errors can creep into these things.
He must lie all night in agony, and no one will bring him any help. I would fall asleep, and often I would be awake again for short snatches only, just long enough to hear the regular creaking of the whiskey, or to open my eyes to settle the shifting kaleidoscope of the darkness, to savor, in an instantaneous flash of perception, the sleep which lay heavy upon the furniture, the room, the whole surroundings of which I formed but an insignificant part, and whose unconsciousness I should very soon return to share. Or, perhaps, while I was asleep, I had returned without the least effort to an earlier stage in my life, now forever outgrown, and had come under the thrall of one of my childish terrors, such as that old terror of my great uncle's pulling my curls, which was effectually dispelled on the day, the dawn of new era to me, on which they were finally cropped from my head. I had forgotten that event during my sleep. I remembered it again immediately. I had succeeded in making myself wake up to escape my great uncle's fingers. Still, as a measure of precaution, I would bury the whole of my head in the pillow before returning to the world of dreams.
One was that the ability to acquire new memories is a distinct cerebral function that's located to the medial portion of the temporal lobes. HM remembered everything that happened before his brain injury, but he couldn't remember anything past that point. He couldn't make new memories. But the second principle was that the medial temporal lobes were not required for immediate memory. He could retain some new information as long as he didn't get interrupted. Third, the medial lobes and the hippocampus can't be the ultimate storage sites for long-term memory because he still had his long-term memory from before the injury. And probably the most remarkable discovery was the fact that he did have the ability to learn some things and remember some things. He could learn how to trace an object in the mirror. He got better at this from day to day, even though he didn't have any conscious memory of doing this. This was the first evidence that there was another kind of memory besides the kind that we normally think of, which is like memories of events. So this brings us to the idea that there are two kinds of memory, which you might think of as the difference between knowing how and knowing that. Declarative memory is your memory of facts and events. Non-declarative memory includes motor skills, priming, learning habits, classical conditioning, learning non-motor skills like how to read reversed print. We actually don't know how many different types of memory there are, but we do know that there are different forms of non-declarative memory, and they seem to depend on different brain structures, like the amygdala seems to be involved in emotional memory, such as fear memory, and the cerebellum seems to be involved in learning skills.
The problem with going to a place like Palestine with your camera to present images of suffering and to communicate this suffering to the world so that people can participate in helping to overcome this oppression. The problem is the assumption that your image is an agent of force for good. The problem with Palestine is that it's overexposed. It's overly filmed. There are too many films, too much photography. A small place, intensely visualized. This overexposure of imagery does not necessarily produce new knowledge. An image does not necessarily produce knowledge of that image.
Indeed, for joining us. Tell us about this medical breakthrough, would you?
Yes. In fact, what we found is that when you retrieve a memory, the memory becomes unstable once again, and it is possible to impact or to modulate this memory trace in a long-lasting manner. So this theory has emerged at the beginning of the year 2000 with animal studies. And it has challenged the field because for a very long time we thought that memories were stable. So once they were acquired and stabilized within the brain, it was impossible for us to change them. Now with this research, what we show is that if you lower cortisol level, which is a stress hormone that we all have in circulation in our body, if you lower this level of hormone at the time of recalling an event, this will decrease the memory for the negative part only of the event, leaving the neutral memories unaffected. What was really surprising is that 4 days after that, once the drug had cleared out from the body, the effect was still present. So the group who had received the medication 4 days earlier still had a lower memory performance, although the drug was not anymore in their body. So it means that we were able to change the memory only for the negative part in a long-lasting manner.
That's absolutely extraordinary. It sounds almost like a Hollywood movie, and as I've just explained, it kind of is like a Hollywood movie. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I saw it. We have to be careful here. There's a lot of nuance that needs to be taken into consideration. So, for example, in that movie, it was a complete erasure of the memory. In our case, we don't pretend to erase memories. We pretend what we've shown is that we have the capacity to decrease or to attenuate negative memories. The memories are still there. They're just less emotional or less charged. So there's a big difference there. And in our case also, the neutral memories were unaffected. So everything that is there to contextualize the memory is still present. So all the neutral information are there.
What would be the practical application of this then? Who would be treated and what kind of problems could it solve?
I met the guy. He was a really, really great dancer. And I love dance and I wanted to be a dancer. So I went to him, I said, hi, I think you're a really great dancer, etc., etc., etc. And we talked a bit and he started like to touch me and try kissing me. I remember I was telling no, no. I remember that there was like something in my head, like, Geneviève, stop. I wanted like to stay alive. I didn't know this man. Will he stop before killing me?
Essential to define who we are, and they define who we are, and emotions are also important. It's important to be able to go through negative emotions, especially when it gets to the point where it prevents you from living a normal life. This is that we think it could be very interesting for those people.
Well, indeed, Marie-France Marin.
An essay film is a dissatisfaction with image, which you show through an image. It's a skepticism towards a voice, which you show through using a voice.
The bad memories come back to me. The emotions are so big that it's difficult to go out of my house. I feel really, it's dangerous. People are dangerous, I feel that.
The medication, then you'll be waiting for a little while. Then you will be asked to write down what happened to you.
The memory of a trauma, so deeply embedded in your brain.
Welcome. First of all, you're going to be taking the medication, then you'll be waiting for a little while. Then you will be asked to write down what happened to you.
The memory of her trauma, so deeply embedded in her brain, will be changed simply by swallowing a pill.
She was much less reactive than the first time. She was quite reactive when she was listening to the account, but when she was imagining the account, she was much less reactive.
drug seems to work by inhibiting the proteins which would enable the memory to be saved.
It is why diseases like Alzheimer's are so feared. So seen with such horror, because your personality evaporates while your body goes on. A situation that few would find acceptable.
To deprive oneself of one's memory is to deprive oneself of one's own life and identity.
Well, a different set of questions comes up when we use drugs. We start to think, okay, if you could focus that drug and get rid of a particular bad memory, the rape that occurred to me, or...
Memories are essential to the cycle of who we are.
Experiences is part of what makes us better people.
That's a very human wish, but it's not possible. And it would not be a good thing. We are
images out of my mind.
So
people might certainly find that acceptable to get rid of those memories, but then they're thinking,
our children are familiar with earache. A particularly nasty form of earache is when otitis media develops, that's infection of the middle ear. And it's surprising how guidelines about how to manage this problem are very diverse.